The number is one. That is the amount of games that Navy needs to win to become bowl eligible. It was kind of a rocky game against ECU. We're going to cover that in this podcast, along with looking ahead to the matchup against SMU. And we didn't have any questions this week. I didn't put out any questions. I know Thanksgiving is tomorrow, so I thought I'd just give you guys a little break from answering or asking any questions and me answering. Going to keep the podcast a little bit shorter today so you can spend time with your families. Without further ado, let's get into it. So let's talk about that ECU game. 10-0, the defense pitches another shutout. The only team in the country, FBS-wise at least, to have three shutouts on the season. It is more than impressive, to say the least, just seeing how when things do go wrong, when you give up a ton of points, go back to that Temple game, go back to that USF game, how the defense has continued to respond throughout the season. Only team in the country with three shutouts. It's quite impressive. But the story of this game, before we talk about the defensive side of the ball, was the offense and some of the struggles that it had. It was quite evident that there were struggles, and it's concerning. I felt like the team had a lot of momentum from the UAB game. I even think they had some momentum from the Temple game. And then it just seems like everything was thrown out the window and something new was in the works. And I don't know what it was. You could tell that guys were not confident in the plays, just the way that they were ran. I think one concerning thing is the distribution running the ball was not there. Teska had 24 carries, 94 yards. Arline had 18 for 68 yards. But other than that, the other eight rushes were between Fofana, who had 5, Hassan, who had 1, and Heidenreich, who had 2 carries. There was no attempt to get other guys involved. Like I said, the beautiful thing about being an option team is that when you're on, you have multiple guys that are running the ball effectively at a high clip, but it was apparent that Navy wanted to run more of a zone read type of scheme, and that's not going to work with ECU. They're very aggressive. They were low in the box, pretty heavy. And we continue to go to continued with something that didn't work. We've seen things that have worked, and then we stopped doing them for some reason. But this time, we were sticking with what wasn't working. Truly need to get back in the flex bone. Truly need to get back to option, you know, style of play. Have those three options. Have the defense react. Make the defense read you. Make the defense guess what you're going to do. And the great thing about the option is, if they guess wrong, you're going to have a big play. The offense was disastrous. And honestly, against a higher quality opponent, we wouldn't have gotten away with any of it. We had one touchdown in the first quarter. And I'm like, oh, we're back. Nope, we were not. There was nothing else after that. One big pass play to Heidenreich was the only really noteworthy play. Our line did not secure the ball well. He had two fumbles. I think one of them, they were confused about who was going to keep the ball. Okay. I thought it was our line's worst game because of the ball security. Now, passing the ball, greatest passing performance in terms of completion percentage that Navy has seen in 40 years. 10 for 11, 102 yards. That was impressive. He has continued to impress, but I do have some high standards. I've seen what he's done against UAB and what he did against Temple, and I thought it was a little bit lackluster. However, the play calling at the same time did not set up him to be able to have success with reading defenses and making the right play. It seemed like the offense was very predictable. It's going to be a zone read, okay. Stack the box, have guy on one guy on the other. And that's all the defense has to do. When you implement the third option, it adds a whole new dynamic. And I think adding that dynamic would have caused ECU to second guess a little bit about being aggressive in the box. Because when you have that outside threat with the pitch, it means your defense has to be spread out a little bit. Defense has to set the edge. But it just wasn't there, and it was highly disappointing after two good weeks of offensive football, or I should say one and a half. First half of the Temple game, I feel like this whole game was kind of like that. Just stale, stagnant, not moving, predictable. You had one or two guys carrying the load, and that's just not Navy football. It's not. If I had to grade the offensive effort, it would have to be a D. Because it just wasn't there, and we had seen the past 2 weeks what the offense could be, and I felt like the play calling was not there, and I felt like the confidence and the moxie that the offense had and carried themselves with wasn't there. And that can have negative benefits going forward. You got a big game against SMU. And of course, the big one. Why you come to Navy. The Army game. This doesn't set up well at all. But then you have the saving grace, the defense. I mean, we've been saying it all year. This defense is locked down. Colin Ramos is a first-team All-AAC guy, and it's hard to debate that he shouldn't be. Another double-digit tackling performance. 1.5 tackles for loss. He was everywhere. Another guy who should be All-AAC is Raywan Lane. He played excellent football as well. The secondary, again, showed up. Showed out. 24 for 38, 155, two interceptions. That was Alex Flynn's stat line. Now, we knew going in, Flynn was not the greatest QB. However, to still shut out an offense, no matter what, is quite impressive. And this defense has kept this team in so many times. Top five in turnover margin. I mean, they force turnovers, and they're top 30, I believe top 20 in rush defense. Pass defense, so definitely took a little bit of a ding against Temple with the 400 yards, but you know, that is the weaker point, but they've really locked down the last 2 weeks. And that is a credit to the coaching staff, the players. You have to give P.J. Volker credit. He called a good game. I said last week that Volker needs to mix up the defense so that the quarterback doesn't get in a rhythm. That's what he did. Had great success. And they didn't allow ECU to run the ball at all. I mean, what else can you say about this defense? I truly believe it's top 20 overall. In my opinion, you got a defense that can be aggressive. However, you look at the UAB game, they can cover the pass too. You got some dogs on the defense, and you had started getting an offense that complemented the defense well, and it felt like this took a ding. Like the Charlotte game, it felt like a ding. But a win's a win. You're 5-5, 4-3 in conference. You're going to be at least 500 in conference, which isn't bad. Considering what you've gone through, not terrible. I won't say it's better than the predecessor, per se. I feel like we've seen a lot of things that are similar. However, you have to give credit to the players and the staff for not only keeping it together, but the improvement. And Xavier Arline, it might be a storybook ending if he can win these next two games. But first, we got to focus on SMU, and we're going to talk about that right now. So, what's next for Navy? Well, we know it's SMU. Huge game for both teams. Really a lot on the line. With Navy, you're playing for bowl eligibility. Haven't been to a bowl game since 2019, that great season. A lot has happened during that time, and nothing would be more perfect than to win this game to get back into bowl season. But this game is not going to be easy. You are facing a high-flying offense in SMU. You look at their two losses, they lost a TCU rivalry game, not their best performance, and then they lost to Oklahoma 28-11. Oklahoma's defense was just swarming that game. Other than that, this team has been rolling. The one or two hiccups almost. One was Rice. That was 3 weeks ago. They beat them 36-31. You could argue in-state kind of rivalry, and then Memphis. People aren't giving Navy a shot. Opened as a huge underdog. That's fine. I think that's good. I think, you know, overlook Navy a little bit. That could play right into Navy's hands. Well, let's just look at the stats. For SMU, their quarterback is Preston Stone. Excellent touchdown to interception ratio. He's got 25 touchdowns on the season, only 6 interceptions. Completes 60% of his passes. Favorite target is Jake Bailey. doesn't have a touchdown reception this season, but he's got the most receptions and he's got the most yards. The other guy that Preston loves to go to is his tight end, RJ Maryland. He's got 7 touchdown receptions, excuse me. Jordan Hudson, the receiver on the other side of Bailey's, got 6. Their leading rusher is Jalen Knighton, who averages 6 yards a carry, has 6 touchdown rushes this season. This team, it feels like, is very structured like Memphis. They do want to pass the ball. They do have a good running element, but they want Preston Stone to distribute the ball around and put his team in a position to win through the air. And he's done a great job throughout the season doing that. He has. And you're a 24-point underdog, but man, you think back to that Memphis game. If you win that Memphis game, I don't know where you'd be. I don't know if we'd be in the position that we're in right now with our line at quarterback. Labtai injuries have plagued him throughout his time here. Horvath getting injured. Woodson not being able to really execute consistency, consistently, had a lot of struggles. But you're here with our line. And if you want a quarterback in this game, it's our line. He's beaten UCF, ranked UCF teams. He almost beat the college football playoff bound Cincinnati Bearcats. People seem to forget that. If you are looking for storybook material, this is the game. This is the game. And this team can win. Not a lot of people think we can. We can. You look at that Memphis game, we were right there. You're facing a very similar team. Memphis played SMU tough. We can too, and we can win. So what does the offense have to do? Time of possession is key. It is huge. You do not want SMU's offense continually getting on the field, being able to just gas the defense. Our line will need to be on his game, making the right reads, giving the ball to the right person. Secondly, you're going to have to run the triple option. You're going to have to make this SMU defense react to you. SMU's defense is aggressive. And it's clear that SMU is going to try to load the box. They just are. But the answer to that is, you know, I feel like I say it every week, run the option. Whether it's flex bone or some variation, you gotta run the option game. That's who you are. That's what Arline has run all his years here. Use his skill set this game. This is the game for Xavier Arline to make the right reads, to break out a big run, and to lead this offense time and time again and keeping the ball away from SMU. Thirdly, gonna have to take the deep shots down the field to keep the SMU defense honest. It's been apparent that Arline can hit his passes. 10 for 11 last week. And then he's going to be, and then he also went, I believe, 7 for 11 against UAB. Don't count me on that, but it was still a high percentage of passes. He can do it. And then lastly, for the offense, convert third downs and red zone touchdowns. Those are going to be the two key statistics. Can you convert when it's third and short or third and medium? And when you get in a position to score, can you score the big points and not settle? And for this defense, let's get to the defensive side of the ball. What do they need to do? You got to play this game a little bit like you did against UAB. You're going to have to max protect more and trust your four guys up front to really stop the run game. And I think that's the key to success. Make SMU run. Because you know they want to pass. Don't let them beat you deep down the field on one-on-one coverage. Play that max three rush, four rush, seven guys in zone. It seems like that teams have had some trouble dissecting that look. And it's worked. And I think you're going to have to continue to do that throughout the game. Make SMU find a way to beat you besides going deep downfield. Make them try to sustain a drive. Because we know how good the run defense is. That is sure. You're going to have to make sure that SMU doesn't beat you with its bread and butter. And I think that the defense has more than the capability to do that. But secondly, turnovers. If there is one game that you really want to flex that turnover margin and show how much your defense can cause havoc, this is the game. This is the game. You're going to have to get turnovers because you don't want to be pinned deep. That puts you at a disadvantage. And stealing a possession or two is key. To stop momentum, turnovers are a great way to do that. Thirdly, and lastly, stop them on third down. They call it the money down for a reason. There's a reason this defense has been good for most of the year. And it's their ability to stop teams from continuing drives. And you're going to need that. If you can get SMU's offense off rhythm, either by keeping the ball on offense, turnovers, stopping them on third down, you're going to have a chance to win the game. So, you have the keys. What do I think is going to happen? You look at both teams. Both are looking for something big. Navy's looking for a bowl game that they haven't tasted at all. This class hasn't tasted at all. How sweet would it be? And then you look at SMU. They win. They're in the AAC championship game against Tulane. Unless UTSA beats Tulane. Actually, stand corrected. Tulane's already in. SMU's playing for the right to play them. I think this Navy team wins. It's going to be close, but Navy knows how to win. Because it's their time now. All the adversity that started in 2020, the adversity from losing their coach that they loved, the adversity of going quarterback after quarterback this year, losing close games, winning close games, offense struggling, defense holding on. This game is the game that shows how much this class has improved and how good of a football team they are. I think Navy wins 28-27 at SMU, gets bowl eligible, and then, of course, can't celebrate too long because Army will be chomping at the bit to get that Commanders in Chiefs trophy.
Oh, thank you.
Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, there will be no Q&A this week. I'm going to keep it short. I want everyone to have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Make sure to go follow the Blue and Gold Report on X, formerly known as Twitter. I'm your host, Sam Blevins. Have a great Thanksgiving. Go Navy, beat SMU.